Welcome to the Questionable Behavior Podcast. Please don't forget to follow us on Instagram at @_QBPC. Also, give us 5 stars on all your favorite podcast platforms. Check us out on YouTube, Google, everything. All right. We got another special episode. We're back in Italy after 2 years, after Corona, after all the nonsense. We're back. We're back in Milan.
Yeah.
Last time we interviewed Gianni Leone. Check it out. Check out the interview. He's behind the camera now. Now we got the other person who's in charge of this studio, Cavea Studios.
Yes, of course.
Jack the Smoker.
Hi.
What's up, bro?
Nice to be here in my studio.
Nice to be here in my studio.
Nice to be with you.
So, Jack, we're going to start early in your career.
Yeah.
You're basically one of the early hip hop artists here that's been pushing you know, lyrics and you know, real like bars and stuff in hip hop.
Yes.
Versus like especially now the newer artists, they're doing kind of like a trap.
Yeah.
You've been pursuing this lyrically, you know, metaphors and all that.
Yes, of course.
You've been writing since about 1996.
Yeah. Stuff like that.
So tell me like the progression, I guess. You know, since you've been doing it over 25 years at this point,
yeah.
How's the progression been in Milan specifically?
Okay, when I started in 1996, 1997, I already was a wordplay guy because that was my way to talk, my way to have fun with my friends. So it was like natural for me to do stuff like that because it was in my mind already. I always been a metaphor guy, a wordplay guy. So I started like that, and it was a funny thing because in Italy there wasn't a big discographic interest from rap
especially
culture.
At that time the hip-hop was not even here basically.
No, nobody cared about it. We were few people doing stuff in few clubs, like 30 people, 30 friends. Everybody knew each other, everybody had collaboration with each other. It was like bad and good. Bad because you couldn't make a work from it, and good because you had a lot of friends in the rap game, and not like that, not long, like
it
now.
Like it was a small culture, like everybody kind of knew each other, so everybody grew together in a way.
Yes, of course, because we don't have the roots that you in America have, like jazz, blues, black music, which make the root for hip-hop culture. We have a lot of pop, we say cantautori, like Italian music, you know? Yeah. So people didn't understand initially in the beginning what we were doing. We had fun of us, like they had fun of us, like rap people is funny. They didn't understand how we dressed, we talked.
Right, cause, and you guys are obviously following the hip hop culture of America in a sense here,
of course.
Nobody else really is doing.
No, it was weird. It was weird and funny at the same time. Basically, I started like that with freestyle. Freestyling with my people. I used to grow up in Pioltello, which is next to Milan, and
at that time it was a rough neighborhood. I believe,
So, in the 90s was really rough, and so hip hop was our strength because it was easy to get in the vice, get lost in bad stuff. So we took the rap culture as a way to improve ourselves, to
stay away kind of from the streets. In a sense, it's interesting how you know, even in America, a lot of hip hop comes from the street. Actually, most of hip hop comes from the streets.
Yes.
And same thing even here. You know,
yes.
I mean, it's kind of like that street culture brings you together to pursue something different.
Of course, because before the boom in 2000 and years like that, and we made some records like La Creme, which was my first album.
That
which
was with. A friend of yours, Mace.
Yeah. Yes. Nowadays, Mace is a great DJ in Italy. Mm-hmm. He had some singles that went platinum and stuff like that.
Oh,
but
nice.
At the time, we were young guys trying to make it using our personal computer, which was really whack. And we made home music, basically.
Right. What were you recording on back then?
Yeah, we were recording at Bassi Maestro studio. Bassi Maestro is like a hip-hop Italian guru. He also came in New York to add some shows because he had some tour with Beatnuts. So he was Beatnuts' official DJ. He made collaboration with, I don't remember, like Saigon. Marco Polo, yes. So he's a mogul for Italian people. And when I went to his studio, I was like, fuck it, I'm scared as hell because I have my personal guru.
Yeah.
And then we became
friends.
That
was like young. That was like early in the career. You're like, holy shit, now I'm in a real studio.
Yeah.
Versus like in my laptop.
Yeah. And it's funny because some people come in my studio and it's like, oh, I'm scared to record in front of you. And I'm like, chill, because I had the same feeling when I was young. So chill.
What's up, everybody? This is your host, Edison. Thanks for tuning in to the Questionable Behavior Podcast. Please don't forget to leave a like, subscribe to our channel, and also hit that bell on your way out so that you get notified for every new episode. Thanks again for tuning in. We couldn't do any of this without your help and support.
Yeah. So, and then, I mean, you've really been in the hip-hop culture, because from there you started even battle rapping.
Yeah.
You know, and that was, I'm sure, one of the first battle rap going on in Italy.
Yes.
So how was that experience in general, like going from trying to make music to now battle rap?
Yeah, it was fire because you know, it was my first chance to be in front of a big stage. It's like a lot of people in front of you. I wasn't used to the shows. I was used to just freestyling my neighborhood with my people. And it was funny because I had some rap icons against me in these rap battles. I knew everything about them.
Yeah.
And they didn't know anything about me.
So it's easier for you to make that. Yeah. So did you have a lot of that is coming straight off the top. So was that your first experience kind of just in the moment?
Yes. But I'm a paranoid guy. So when I don't think, I perform better. So it was easy
for me. So it worked out.
Yeah. When I don't have the time to think, when I was a kid, I was, you know, fast thinking, and was like putting out the bet on myself, the best of myself.
And you won one of the competitions, and it was against some big artists now.
Yes.
Well, I don't know their names off the top of my head, but you went to the final. I think you're even in a label with a couple of them now together, right?
Yes. It was like 15 years ago, so I didn't remember all the names, but I'm now working with some people that I fucked with
that time.
Yeah, at the time. So it's funny how things change in the years, because from that moment, people started being interested in me, my music, because it was before internet for everybody. It was for...
It was just
YouTube
at that point.
MySpace.
Right.
MySpace is like, I think people which is listening to us don't know MySpace because it's so old.
That's true. A lot of people don't remember how hard it was to pick your friends and put them in order.
Yeah. You have to be friends of Tom.
Tom has to be number one friend.
Number one
God
friend.
God forbid you put the wrong friend number one and then this friend number two, you get a phone call. Like, oh, I thought we were friends. Shit, here we go.
It was funny, yes. And so... things start to change because I had some buzz around me, and in the same time hip hop
was growing.
Was growing up because rappers started to talk about real life experience instead of talking about how big I am, how much I'm strong in rapping. So things start to change because the people from the communities, from the neighbor, started to be interested in what we were talking about.
So now, you know, you're bringing your real life experiences into the music.
Yeah.
And your first album came in, like, your first solo album came in like 2009.
Yes, of course.
Shortly after all that.
Yeah.
So why do you think it took so long to finally put out a solo project?
There's a lot of reason. Now, the first one is that after my first album with La Creme, I had to take some time to think at the next move.
Mm-hmm.
So as I told you, when I was younger, I had the bigger thoughts in my mind. So what's the right thing to do? How can I grow up? Is there outside some people listening to this stuff? I had to take my time.
So tell me about that, because it's very easy for especially someone in a creative space to stop what they're doing when they don't get the proper feedback.
Yes, of course.
So you definitely went through that period of like you did a couple of projects with the group, and now you took a break. You're like, do I fucking, am I still doing this? Who am I doing it for?
You yes.
Know? So tell me about just that mental space of like sticking to it and just keep going forward.
Basically, it was like having fun doing what I like. So it was like, fuck it. Let's see what's going on. I have to improve myself. I have to improve my lyrics. And basically waiting in at the same time for more people to understand what I was doing. So it was like an inner experience, like growing up artistically and mentally, because I was young. So it was like, what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna have a normal job because I studied psychology. So I was like, am I gonna be a therapist or am I gonna be a rapper?
Yeah, you're following rap. You're like, I could also be a therapist.
Yes, of course. In the studio, we can make some psychotherapy or
or music.
Or music.
Either lay down on the couch or rap, you know.
Yes, yes. So it was like taking my time to understand where my life was going. But I always been doing this thing of writing rhymes. So it was like fun for me. And if something bigger comes, I'm going to get it. I'm going to do everything I can to get all the opportunities. In the meantime, I take some time to grow and to improve.
So at the same time, you never really stopped writing.
No, you
stopped kind of making songs, but you were writing the whole time.
No, I was writing, and I also made a lot of collaboration with Italian artists, because as I told you in the beginning, there was no jealousy, no competition. It was like we're friends, we're building a team to make people understand what we're doing.
So I guess at that time, people don't really fuck with hip hop, they don't really like it. So if you guys are doing it, it's like a movement. Like, we have to stick together and push this forward.
Of course. Yeah. And when there's no money, there's more friendship, you know, basically.
That's true. So, once the money starts coming in, you're like, oh, wait a minute, hold on. And then in that album in 2009, when you launched it, it was, you put a lot of your story, a lot of your personal, like, especially from growing up in a hard neighborhood, you put a lot of that into the album.
Yeah.
So tell me about that progression from, like, you know, like you said before, your albums, your music was more about like, look at me and this is who I am, and now it's like you're putting your own personal life into it.
Yes, because I had more life experience, more personal growth, which took me to write some personal stuff, but also some social stuff, because I was looking outside from my personal life. There's a lot of tracks talking about the fact that I'm going to the outside world, not only in my neighborhood. So what I'm gonna do with my life? Are these people outside understanding me or trying to fuck me up? There's a lot of these topics in that album, and I think it's been hard to put all these efforts, all these personal experience in this album, because it's difficult to talk about yourself in this way. But
especially when you open up, it becomes more vulnerable.
Yeah,
you know, you're talking about yourself versus,
of course,
like. So now whoever's listening is like, knows a little bit about you.
So you
have to be ready for that.
It's difficult to open like that. But I'm happy also 15 years after of this album, because it was a right step in my personal growth.
Yeah. And now the logo with the album actually, I guess, kind of goes with the topic, because it's upside down. It's the same.
Yeah.
So how did you come up with that idea?
I always like the stuff which can go reverse, sideways. I like the kind of symmetry, because it's part of my paranoia. So it's like things that can be looked from both sides look interesting to me, because they reflect the ambiguity and the ambiguity of the life, you know.
Yeah. So with that being said, we're gonna take a quick break. We're gonna say shout out to our sponsors, Shipe. They brought a shirt all the way to Italy for you.
Oh, thank
here.
You. Thank you.
Put that out there.
Oh, let me see.
There you go. This is an Albanian-based brand.
Wow.
So Shipe is what we call each other in Albanian. Albanians to Albanians.
Huh?
And basically, yeah, his brand has been going global. Oh, everybody around the world, just Albanians, are buying it.
Yeah.
So here you go. That's for you.
Thank you.
Shout out. We have one for Janji behind the scenes. He's going to wear that too.
And shout out to Albania, because we have a lot of Albanians which came in Italy in the 90s, and nowadays there's a bunch of good rappers with Albanian parents, so it's nice.
I've heard there's also another artist, he was in Eurovision, I think Ermal Meta. He's also Albanian as well.
Sure.
I didn't realize how many Albanians were actually in Italy until I started doing more research.
Yeah.
So shout out to Shipe. Quick break, and then we're going to come back and talk about after he signed with the record label and all that, those successes.
Yeah.
All
right.
Shipe brand. Make sure to check them out on Instagram or online, and order any of the clothes that you see on their Instagram page. You can order it directly online.
Yeah.
All right, so we go back into you signing with Machete, the label.
Yes, of course.
All right, Machete, the label in itself and the artist behind the label is people similar to you who have been doing hip hop for a long time and just following this trend of lyrics, metaphor, and making music that lasts, that we were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
So tell me why Machete?
Yes.
And you, like you mentioned, you were talking to other labels as well. So what made you stick out and stay with them?
Machete was a growing reality at the time. It was big because we had some people really big in Italy, like Salmo, which is one of the biggest artists in Italy also nowadays. And then and also then, like 10 years ago. And when I thought of my personal growth, I was like, I need some support. I need some growth, but I also need to stay with my mentality, which is independent, which is like I'm gonna do whatever the fuck I want. Because in Italy, it's not easy to do what the fuck you want. Because as I told you, people don't understand fully hip hop,
especially that type of hip hop.
Yeah. It's a different in Italy. There's a different stuff in the radio. Also, the hip hop music you listen in the radio is not really hip hop. It's like rhymes, using rhymes pattern, right, which is similar to resembles hip hop, but it's not hip hop. As you can listen in America. Or in England, in France.
I feel like, from what I've heard, is a lot of artists tend to make pop songs too. A lot of hip hop artists tend to go towards pop because I guess that's more popular here. So you definitely didn't want to go and stray away from your sound to just do it for people. You want to do it for yourself.
Of course. But at the same time, I want to grow because I want to make this I wanted to make this music as my profession, as and I wanted to get recognized artistically in the whole country. So I had to take this step, and I think I made the right choice because they gave me the opportunity to raise the bar, to do better stuff to promote this stuff because. As I told you, it's difficult to understand that people doesn't understand that you need support apart from the music, because the musician is a musician, and you need publicity, you need support, you need graphics, you need the mix, me a master.
I think that's also a misconception for young artists. They feel like I'm gonna make the best song and put it out, and that's it.
Mm-mm-mm.
That doesn't matter anymore at all. Maybe in 1996 when you were making it, it was harder to put a song out, so maybe it was easier to catch. But now people are making music left and right, it's impossible for you. Like, it's very, very difficult to just launch one song and hope that that's gonna take you right away.
And when I work in the studio as a mix mastering engineer, I will always have to explain this to the people, because they are asking me, how can I make things improve? How can I be a successful rapper? And I'm like, chill, man, take your time, do your stuff, but try to find some support from a label, from people works for the same goal. Mm-hmm. And Machete is like this, because it's like 10 people coming from Sardinia, which is a small island and a mm-hmm. small reality for hip hop. They came from nothing. They came to Milan, like three artists, one graphic, one DJ.
Oh, so it was like a bunch of people that are still working towards the same goal.
Yeah.
And you have that, you know, it's much easier.
Because when you fuck with friends, when you do stuff with your friends, you know, they won't betray you. They won't take it for the personal success, but for the group, team,
for
you know?
The team, exactly. So now the successes with the Machete mixtapes, with Machete mixtape 3 went platinum
or double platinum, I don't remember right now, but it was really
very successful,
really successful.
You know, and then you were a big part of that album.
Yes.
Was that before or after your second album, which was Jack Ushita?
It was like a year before, and it paved the way for the album because
it boosted you at that right moment.
Yes, because I got to younger people, because I was like very known from people of my age, you mm-hmm. know, 25, 30, but with that album,
the new generation.
I was known by the new generation, so it was like improving my stage, my.
And your second album, Jack Ushita, which is Jack Kills, was kind of an ego album for you.
Mostly, yes.
So tell me a little bit about it and why the title Jack Kills.
Because I wanted to make a statement to the country, like I'm heavy on this bars game. I can kill you with the rap stuff, because I've been doing this stuff since 1997, and now it's my time. And now it's my chance to grow up, to be huge, to be one of the icons of this game. So it was like arrogant stuff, but mm-hmm. you know, when I thought of this album, I was like, I want to make some records that can play in the shows, not only in personal stuff, but violent stuff, arrogant stuff. And it's interesting because it was like 2016 when the trap stuff started to come out, and I find my balance between trap and rap, because I used to rap on these trap tracks, which is normal for Americans, but in Italy it was like, or your trap.
You're not doing both.
No. Because Italy is always divided into left-right stuff, so... You know, it was like a hybrid music. In the beginning, people didn't understand it fully. It took like 2-3 months to make the album raise, because people think of me as a classical artist. Yeah. And they were like, oh, what the fuck?
What is he doing? That kind of thing. Yeah. So, and then basically, another... I guess the last Machete mixtape, which was number 4, you guys mixed the older artists that were around for a long time and put a lot of young artists together in tracks.
Yeah.
So that was, on top of the fact that that's like a marketing, that's genius for marketing.
Yes.
It also, all the songs came out great. You know what I mean? You had some 18 and 17-year-olds at the time mixed with like people that have been doing rap for 17 years.
Yeah, exactly.
So tell
me
about that idea. Was that like a collective idea, or...
It's like, let's go to the studio with people which has our mentality, the same mentality, like make music on the spot, or listen to some beats, smoke, drink, and stay in the studio for like 10 hours chilling. Yeah. So it's like hip hop, you know?
Yeah. So it all came together in one day?
Or? Yeah. The funny thing is that we went to this island, to the Sardinian island with Salmo in his crib, like staying there 2-3 days each artist opening tracks and doing verses, and then we picked things together, and we had some fun basically, and it's good.
It came out into a whole mixtape.
Yeah,
so basically
yeah.
All this happened in like a weekend.
Yeah,
everybody,
yeah.
All like, the artists. It was like 20 artists on that.
Yes,
on
yes.
that track. So yeah, you have yes. to mix and match a lot of people's.
You know, sometimes it's good having fun doing music, because our albums are like 1 year work, 1 year yeah. struggle. Like, well, I'm gonna change this verse, I'm gonna reproduce this beat. At the time, we were like, fuck it, let's do stuff, let's fun.
Just chill, let's have a yeah. good time. Finally, like, just be artists instead of like focusing on all the
yes,
business and all the nonsense. So then, basically, between all your albums, you've always had like a 4 or 5 year break. Mm-mm. Your newest album just came out this year.
Yes.
Which
last
was
year. Yeah.
Last year. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, whatever. 4 years.
Ho fatto tardi.
Yes.
Did I say that right?
Si, si,
sound
si.
Italian with that one?
That sound really Italian. It's a sound American.
Hey, you gotta do that.
Okay.
Say, ho fatto tardi.
Because Italian moved
the
hands, you know.
So this album, I think, in my opinion, it was more. It showed more of your musical side.
Yeah.
You had a lot of different songs that were kind of more melodic. The one song that, I mean, I don't understand Italian, but the one song that I wish I understood Italian for was Calamita.
Yeah.
Which is like a very, it seems like you're telling a story.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, it's a lot more melody than your previous album. So mm-mm. was that the goal for the album in general?
This was my most personal album, I guess. And I sing because I always used to sing, but in the beginning of my career, I was like, no, I don't sing because I'm an underground artist. I don't want to sing, but I always like to sing also in my life, you know. In the shower, I used to sing.
Outside of the album, until then.
Outside of the albums, yes. But in this album, I really made whatever the fuck I wanted, because I came out from these mixtapes which went double, triple platinum. Everybody has eyes was on us, and I had to take a time for myself, like, okay, I'm part of this big deal, but I want to do something personal, because I want to make people back to my music instead of the collective, because I wanted to make my flag again in this rap game. And I was like, I won't ask anybody to give me advices, because nowadays I'm 35 36, so I think I don't need no more big advices from people, because I know where I'm going. While my previous album, maybe I was in the studio with other people.
So you made this is just all for myself.
Yes.
I'm doing this for myself.
Yes, yes, yes.
No outside influence. I'm just going to do what I think, and then,
yeah.
You know.
And then go. Because I understood in the years that doing... might seem a stupid statement, but doing whatever the fuck you want is the key to do the thing that we like, the people we love, because they will smell right. the authenticity in what you're doing, you know?
That's true. That's very true. Once you start opening up and like breaking the barriers of like what people think, that's when people connect with you even more.
Yeah, because they feel the authenticity, the real feelings that you put in tracks.
Yeah.
So I'm very, very happy of this album, and I think it's an album that gonna last in the years, because it doesn't talk of things that will not matter in like 1-2 years. I guess. I hope.
You produce also, correct?
Okay, I also produce. I have always been producing since day one, but... when I made my first album with Mace, I didn't have PC yet.
Yeah, okay.
So I didn't produce in that album. I also made an album with a rapper from Verona called Zampini, in which I made all the beats. So yeah. I always had fun to make beats.
But your album now, your newest album, basically it's produced by a couple of different producers.
Yeah.
So do you not like to produce for yourself or
no, basically I like to produce for other people, and I like to be part of the beat making process with the producers, because they are all producers I know very well, so mm-hmm. I can talk with them, I can interact with them, because I know what they're doing, and I like to put my my personal touch in this stuff,
right,
you know,
right. Of course. You also did actually, before we get into the next segment, we're going to take another quick break, and we'll be right back.
Bye.
What's up, everybody? This is your host, Edison. Thanks for tuning in to the Questionable Behavior Podcast. Please don't forget to leave a like, subscribe to our channel, and also hit that bell on your way out so that you get notified for every new episode. Thanks again for tuning in. We couldn't do any of this without your help and support.
So you did more recently a collaboration with FIFA 21.
Yeah.
The soundtrack. So tell me about that. How did that happen for you?
It happened because Machete has a lot of link to the to the commercial world, to the soccer world also, because you know, as you know, in Italy we are all crazy for football.
Yeah, of course.
You know,
who do you support?
AC Milan.
That's what I'm talking about. Fuck this guy.
Yeah, but the funny thing is that one player of his one former player, because he's not more on Inter, was managed by Jay-Z, Lukaku.
Oh.
So it was like hip hop.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but we have a link with DJ Khaled in AC Milan. DJ Khaled did some jobs with AC Milan, so I think it's the good connection.
We're definitely better, yeah. Better musically and as a team.
Yeah.
Maybe not 1 year last year, but you know, in general.
Yes, of course. Yeah. And
you guys can have Çalhanoğlu, it's fine.
Ah, fuck Çalhanoğlu. You can change the team in the same city. I'm so angry about that. Whatever. it was funny because we are all a fan of soccer and FIFA and playing PlayStation. So it was like part of our life.
It was cool to like be in the video game, basically.
Yes, of course.
So your song is in the game.
A song from Machete Mixtape 4 is in a video game. And
internationally? So anywhere you buy the game?
Or? I guess it's international.
That's amazing. Yes. That's cool. Because I mean, I still play that game today. So you know what I mean. So it's
can find the Yoshi track, which is performed by Da Supreme, Danny Five, and as a remix with J Balvin. It's a huge song. I'm not part of this song, but it's part of the tape.
The label.
It's a label achievement. You know? Sony Records, which produced my last album, it's huge. So you know, they work in the station. They make a lot of publicity, and that's what I was looking for in the last years of my career.
So that's a big push, I guess, behind this album.
Yes,
a big push.
Yes. So my grandma can see it.
There you go. Yeah.
It's like, wow, it's my grandson. You know.
So with that being said, we're gonna basically close out the show, but I want people to know, like, what's the next step for you? Is it gonna be another 4 or 5 years for an album?
No, I hope not. Hopefully not, because you know, now I got my own studio doing well. I got my own business running in this studio, so I want to keep the studio thing going on. I want to perform my album as soon as we can, thanks to coronavirus. And then I think I'm gonna start this new album from September, because I wanted to make this album come out like in 1 year maximum, because now I know what I'm doing. So I think
once the shows kick back, you want to go out, perform a little bit, especially this album that just came out, so people see that in person. And once that picks up a little bit, that's when the next album is going to be ready.
It was disappointing for me not to perform my last album, which I think is so good, as I told you. And I wish I could see the people,
the reaction to it,
giving me feedbacks live, because you know, you can see Instagram reactions, private messages, but when you come to the stage, it's like seeing people living and feeling the tracks.
You guys tour all over Italy, you know. Yeah. So I'm sure you guys have like 70-100 shows a year.
Ooh.
If not more.
Because you know, each weekend was like a different
place. City every weekend.
A different meal, different lunch every because in Italy, you know, food culture is so
different in every place.
Different. Yeah. So
you know, that's the thing, people, when you go visit Italy, don't just get fucking pizza everywhere.
No.
Okay, there's certain places in Italy that make good pizza, and certain places that don't. You know,
so
you gotta follow. You know, you go to Tuscany, get some steak.
Exactly.
You know, go to in the north, I think they make the pasta. The best.
Yeah.
And then in the south, you go seafood, and that's when you have the pizza.
Yes. Pizza in Naples. You have to know the Italian differences in the food culture, because it's so funny, because it's really different. Because Italian culture is influenced by a lot of cultures, so it's good.
With that being said, tell everybody where they can check your music out, Instagram, all that, and any shout out. Maybe you want to say hi to your grandma or something.
Hi, grandma.
So tell everybody, Jack the Smoker.
Yeah.
Go follow him on Instagram. You also have a show on Machete TV.
Yes, we use the Twitch platform to make like a inner talent show into Machete's culture. Was like listening to new rappers and choosing 10 of them from 4,000 and we made an album which will come out in September, I guess, with these 10 new artists that we chose.
So like 4,000 artists submitted something, and then you picked the top 10 and made
an
album.
Yeah.
With the label.
Yes.
So, and these are unsigned artists.
Unsigned artists that's signed great, in really small realities.
So that's a great collaboration, especially for new artists. That's a great opportunity.
Yeah, they were like crying because they came in the studio, in the Sony Music Studios. They never seen stuff like that. Very huge studios, very big equipment, you know. They used to make it in the box with small microphones. So it was like, wow.
Like, holy shit, like a fucking Sony video. So that's amazing. That's amazing that you guys still, you know, are still pushing the culture here. You know, basically the same group of guys that started early on are still now giving new young people opportunities. That's great to see. I wish that, you know, in America they should do that a little bit more, but some people do, but you know, it's a lot more competition sometimes, especially in like New York,
of course,
than it is collaboration.
But from outside it looks like there's this legacy going on, and so I think
that's definitely great, because you could easily have an ego later on after some success, but instead you're offering a helping hand to the next person. With that being said, again, don't forget, subscribe on YouTube, check us out on Google us, you'll find us everywhere. Check out Jack the Smoker and his music. Whether you know Italian or not, you're still gonna love some tracks. And that's it. Just thanks for tuning in.
I will come to make a show in
New
York,
soon,
hopefully.
For sure. Once Corona is over, there's going to be a lot more shows. We'll see them in New York next. I'm tired of coming to Milan with these guys.
All right. Bye.